The following is a Reels Channel and Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised. A college town is paralyzed with fear when young female students begin disappearing at a rate of about one a month.
Authorities are trying to count the bodies and figure out who did this.
Their remains are discovered in remote areas, each one having been beaten, killed, and raped, often in that order.
Evil comes in many, many different packages.
Over four terrifying years, more than 30 young women are murdered by America's most notorious killer.
Every news organization across the country was now interested in Ted Bundy.
There was such an onslaught of publicity and attention.
He was so normal, but he had these demons.
Tompkins' girl's head was severed.
He didn't look like a criminal. He didn't act like a criminal.
Ted Bundy showed the world that evil can also be good looking.
Meet Ted Bundy.
Hi there.
A man so handsome, no one suspects him.
You mind helping me?
So charismatic, his victims are easily lured.
I just want to go home!
And so smart, investigators had no idea who he was until murder made him famous. Ted Bundy was one of the most prolific and violent serial killers in American history. The psychopath with movie star good looks would prove to the world that not even jail could contain his murderous obsession. And his relentless rampage would redefine the face of evil.
Senior crime reporter Steve Helling.
Ted Bundy had a profound effect on our popular culture and on our movies. Whole genres of horror films have come from the Ted Bundy story.
Ted Bundy was even portrayed by People magazine's Sexiest Man Alive, Mark Harmon, in NBC's blockbuster TV movie, The Deliberate Stranger.
I was looking for a kind soul. Preferably a pretty one. Help me unload my sailboat from a car.
Flattery and a broken arm will get you just about
anywhere.
When you hear the name Ted Bundy, you think of one of the most evil men in American history, and also one of the most fascinating.
Ted Bundy was born November 24th, 1946, believing his maternal grandparents were his parents and his mother was his sister.
He was being raised to believe that his mother was actually his older sister. It was lie upon lie from the time he was very, very young.
But rumor has it, that isn't the only skeleton in Ted's closet. Although unconfirmed, it has also been suggested that his grandfather may in fact be Ted's biological father. If true, that would make Ted the product of incest. But it wasn't until the age of 15 that Ted learned the truth about his parentage.
He stumbled across some documents that told him that everything that he thought was true had been a lie.
Author Hugh Ainsworth.
The woman he thought was his sister was really his mother. She lies about it for 15 years. That's enough to sort of question your love for your mother, I would think.
Ted spends the rest of his adolescence trying to overcome the embarrassment of his illegitimate background. So when he enrolls in the University of Washington in Seattle, it's Ted's chance at a fresh start. He becomes involved in local politics and falls in love with a pretty young co-ed named Stephanie. Stephanie has dark hair parted down the middle, an attribute that all of Ted Bundy's future victims will share.
He had a good future. He was interested in politics. He worked in one of the campaigns, the Republican governor, I believe, was. You could certainly enjoy having a beer with him and talking politics or whatever.
Hey, it's on me.
Bundy was handsome, articulate, and I think that's what makes him so captivating still.
But in his junior year, things begin to crumble. The political campaign he supports fails, and his girlfriend, Stephanie, breaks up with him for not being focused enough. Ted is devastated by the breakup and drops out of school for the rest of the year. But he would eventually reemerge with a new focus. He changes his major to psychology and is excelling academically and socially like never before. He also has a new girlfriend, Liz. But what Liz doesn't know is that her seemingly perfect boyfriend has a darker side.
Ted Bundy was charming. He was intelligent. He was good looking. There was just one thing wrong with him. He liked to murder women. Ted Bundy had a type. Pretty young girls with their hair parted in the middle.
21-year-old Linda Ann Healy, a college senior, has a drink at a local campus bar with her friends. And Ted has his eye on her.
Okay, guys, that's it for me.
You're bailing on us?
Gotta get up at 5:30, remember?
Okay. Call you after class.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Okay. Bye.
She is scheduled to announce snow ski reports at a local radio station the following morning. But that will never happen.
Former investigator Robert Keppel.
Linda Ann Healy was last seen in her room in a house at the University of Washington, where there were five women that lived at this house.
At approximately 10 p.m., she gets ready for bed.
Linda Ann Healy was not alone. There were people sleeping in the next room. She was really as safe as she could possibly be.
Quietly, Ted Bundy enters the home. Bundy removes the blood-stained nightgown from Linda Healy and hangs it up. He then takes time to redress her. He wraps her in a sheet, puts the bloody pillowcase over her head, and neatly remakes the bed.
He took her body out while people slept in the next room. Hours later, when she doesn't show up to the radio station, they call, and that's the first time anybody notices that she's been missing.
No, this isn't Linda. This is Kelly, her roommate. No, I don't know where she is.
But then when the police came, they discovered blood on the pillow, blood on the top sheet, blood on a nightgown in the closet. So they had quite a bit of evidence that something had happened there.
No body is ever recovered. Dental records will identify Linda from a jawbone found months later.
Just her jawbone. Nothing else.
The college girls were probably easier to pick up because they're willing to give people a chance more than someone on the street, maybe.
And Ted Bundy was extremely creative as he finds ways to lure women.
But he's only getting started. Georgianne Hawkins, a freshman at the University of Washington, is approaching the alley behind her sorority house. The aspiring broadcast journalist is just 60 feet from her door when she stops to help a stranger.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah, thanks. Just, would you mind giving me a quick hand?
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's just hard to carry these things with crutches, you know?
Yeah.
Would you, my car's right over there. You mind helping me?
No, not at all. Just right here?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm Ted, by the way.
I'm Georgianne. My friends call me George.
This is very kind of you, George.
No problem.
Thank you.
She went as far as his Volkswagen Bug, carrying some of his books that he had dropped.
That's the thing, that Ted Bundy's victims were good people. Upstanding college girls who were willing to be helpful.
Where would you like these?
In the passenger seat, please.
Sure. Oh, well, there is no passenger seat.
He'd often bludge them to get them to where he could take them somewhere.
He could take out the front seat, and that way he could put a body where the seat would go. It was an unlikely vehicle to be used by a serial killer. But then again, Ted Bundy wasn't your average serial killer.
But while Ted is driving out of town, Georgianne wakes, incoherently speaking about her Spanish class.
Spanish test tomorrow. Are you my tutor?
Shut up.
Georgianne being conscious was not part of Ted's plan. Georgianne's body has never been found. Meanwhile, Ted still continues his relationship with his girlfriend, Liz.
None of the people around him knew what he was doing. There wasn't any chance that somebody would come along that knew anything. And he knew that.
It's like Ted Bundy needed an extra thrill that was more than just the thrill of killing. He was challenging himself, and like he was getting off on the fact that he couldn't be caught even in the middle of a sunny day.
Here we are.
Ted Bundy is killing at will.
Where's the boat?
But his most heinous act is still yet to come. Charming and charismatic Ted Bundy has been abducting and murdering young women in Washington State with shocking regularity, leaving investigators with little to go on. And with each kill, he becomes more brazen. 1 month after the murder of Georgianne Hawkins, Ted Bundy arrives at Lake Sammamish State Park in Issaquah, Washington. 23-year-old Janice Ott, who had recently moved to the area to take a job helping children, is sunbathing near the shore.
Excuse me. Sorry to bother you. I'm trying to unload my sailboat from my car, and as you can see, I've only got one good arm. Is there any way I could ask you for a little help?
You have a sailboat?
Oh, yeah. It's a real beauty. Kind of like you.
Oh, you're smooth.
Come on. Just a matter of untying a line. Help a guy in need?
Do I get a boat ride?
You can steer.
Dan.
Ted.
Fine.
It is. Here we are.
Where's the boat?
It's like Ted Bundy needed an extra thrill that was more than just the thrill of killing. It was the thrill of pushing the envelope and pushing the limit.
Ott, like many of Bundy's victims, would eventually be beheaded. Only scattered bones will be found near a service road in Issaquah. Just hours later, Bundy returns to the same lakeshore and approaches 18-year-old Denise Naslin, who has stepped away from a picnic with friends to use the restroom.
Excuse me, hi. Sorry to bother you. I'm just trying to unload my sailboat from my car. And as you can see, I only got one good arm.
Denise's jawbone and her femur would also be found near Issaquah. But it is at Lake Sammamish where Ted Bundy makes his first mistake.
There were a group, say, of three other women on the beach. One of those women overheard her say, "Hi, I'm Jan." And he said, "Hi, I'm Ted."
The witnesses also see his car. Later, they will tell police about a man named Ted and his beige-colored Volkswagen Beetle.
Two or three people heard him say who he was.
So now this mysterious killer has a name, Ted. He has a vehicle, a Volkswagen Bug. police release a composite sketch of Ted Bundy, and they set up a special tip line. So once the composite sketch was out, the tips started rolling in. And one person in particular recognized that face and recognized that name.
Ted's girlfriend, Liz, reads the news reports that have Washington women in a panic. 8 women have gone missing in as many months, and no one knows where this killer will turn up next. But Liz thinks she has an idea.
The more Liz thinks about it, the less normal her boyfriend really is, and the creepier he is. He stays up all night. He doesn't tell her where he's been. He's not interested in sex unless it's bondage, and if she doesn't want to participate in bondage, he gets angry. She called police and said, "I think I know who the killer is."
Theodore Bundy, but he goes by Ted.
The call goes on a list of police tips. It is one of 200 coming in every day that keep the police busy. Meanwhile, 2 grisly crime scenes are discovered east of Seattle, one in the town of Issaquah, the other on Taylor Mountain.
Nowhere in the history of King County or Washington State had there ever been 2 crime scenes like these. 4 skulls or skull parts are found on Taylor Mountain, and no other bones were found. There were no backbones, there were no rib bones, no leg bones, no arm bones, nothing.
The word is that both you and Seattle police are proceeding on the assumption that there are more bodies out here.
As a young detective in 1974, Robert Keppel leads the search that begins with the disappearance of Linda Ann Healy.
Somewhere he disposed of all of the clothing, purses, any of the stuff that belonged to any of the victims. It's gone.
What was this man capable of? He could be anywhere. There were more questions than were answered when they found it.
What we did have were victims that had been stabbed. Other victims had head damage.
This was something that was a habit for him, was a compulsion for him. And there's nothing scarier than that.
Authorities determine that there are at least 8 victims.
The main function of the investigation was to see if there were other cases that may be related.
Police assemble a list of 100 men who go by Ted and possess other possible traits linking them to the crimes in Washington. They investigate the names alphabetically, with Bundy as number 7. But Ted Bundy is no longer in Washington State.
Ted Bundy has moved on. He's in law school in Utah. He's living his life there. The killing stopped in Seattle. And then they started in Utah.
No less than 3 young victims are abducted and murdered in Utah, including 17-year-old Lori Aim, whose parents called her a gentle, free spirit.
Hi there.
Hi.
Oh, God, no. Please don't kill me. I just want to see my family, please. No.
Years later, Bundy will confess to the Utah murders and tell investigators about a morbid interest in the bodies. He changes their clothes, has sex with them, and even takes pictures for trophies.
So for Ted Bundy, the thrill kept going long after the murder, knowing that he could go back anytime he wanted.
Obviously, this guy was driven by forces that you and I and most people don't have.
He didn't look like a criminal. He didn't act like a criminal. He knew how to do the right things to appear the right way.
As he continues to go unnoticed, Ted Bundy has evolved into the perfect killing machine. Near Salt Lake City, Ted stalks 18-year-old Carol Durant at a strip mall. He writes down her license plate number and approaches her as she leaves.
Excuse me, ma'am. Is your license plate KADL32?
Yeah.
I'm Officer Roseland. Someone was trying to break into your car.
They did?
Yes, we have a physical description, but you'll need to fill out a police report so we can pursue the matter.
How do I do that?
I can take you to the police department. It's right up the street.
Right now?
Yes, ma'am. I think that would be the best thing.
So you have, like, an ID or something?
This way.
Every instinct in Carol tells her that something's wrong with the situation. But she's only 18, and she ignores that little voice.
This is your car?
It's an undercover vehicle.
Almost immediately, Carol realizes that she's made a terrible mistake.
Are you sure we're going the right way? Where are we going? What are you doing?
But it's already too late.
Oh, God. Oh, God, please, sir, just let me out. Please, I just want to go home. I won't say anything, I promise. Just let me out, please.
Ted pulls over and tries to handcuff her, but she struggles.
No! 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 Let go!
In the struggle, he puts both cuffs on the same wrist.
No! Let go! No!
Carol DeRanche does what dozens of other women failed to do. She escapes from Ted Bundy.
Having left an eyewitness alive, Ted Bundy's luck is about to run out. But not before his most gruesome crime of all.
Murder Made Me Famous. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
There are 120,000 unsolved murder cases in America.
It was the next day that I found out from my parents what had happened, that my sister was killed.
Each one is called a cold case.
Sometimes you have to look really closely to find the evidence.
Damn, I killed her.
Damn it, I killed her.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
Garcia is walking into the home of a real monster.
I was nervous. I realized what kind of person I was dealing with.
It's a goosebump moment.
Download new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised. 28-year-old Theodore Bundy, known only to authorities as a deadly enigma named Ted, has been abducting, raping, and murdering young women in Washington State, Utah, and now Colorado, amassing over a dozen victims. Women all across the country are terrified as the media alerts them to be extremely cautious. But 18-year-old Carol DeRanche is able to manage a daring escape and is now working with police to catch the most dangerous man in America.
Carol goes to the police, and now, for the first time ever, they have an eyewitness account that tells how Ted Bundy hunts these women and what he does once he's got them.
Meanwhile, Ted expands his killing grounds to the bordering state of Colorado. Now 29, Ted Bundy snuffs out the lives of five more innocent women over the next several months. His death toll rises to no less than 17 young women and teenage girls.
These murders start taking over his life. Instead of going to law school, he drops out and just sits and fantasizes about these women.
But 9 months after the attempted abduction of Carol DeRanche, everything comes crashing down.
North on 21 at Elm. I have a Volkswagen Bug. No lights. Refusing to stop. Request backup.
10459 backup.
Police stopped Ted Bundy's Volkswagen because he didn't have his headlights on.
Get out of the car! Put your hands up!
The cops decide to search the car, and what they find is chilling. They find a ski mask. They find handcuffs. They find pantyhose. They find a bunch of other things that are very incriminating.
Look, it's like I told the officer that arrested me. It's not illegal to possess those items. I have absolutely nothing to hide.
Police find more suspicious items in Bundy's Utah apartment, but somehow miss Ted's collection of Polaroid photographs containing graphic images of his victims after death.
And then police remember Carol Duranche, who had been kidnapped 9 months earlier. So they set up a lineup, and she picks him out instantly. She says, "This is the man who attacked me and tried to kill me."
Police charge Bundy with kidnapping and assault in the Duranche case. Bail is set at $100,000, but it is later lowered to just $15,000.
It's an open and shut case. There's physical evidence, and there's even an eyewitness.
Carol Duranche was a very good witness.
Everybody thought she might have had the wrong person, but she didn't, and she stuck to it.
Word starts to spread about Ted Bundy, and other police start looking into cases that they have going on.
Investigators at Bundy's original hunting ground, Washington State, get wind of the Utah arrest and begin to connect the dots.
What are the chances that there can be all these murders in Seattle, they can stop and then start in Utah?
Investigators from two states interview Liz and discover more disturbing details about her boyfriend.
He has these things, and I don't understand why he has them.
What kinds of things?
Well, like crutches, for one, and a plaster of Paris.
Plaster of Paris?
Yeah, like to make a cast. And he has a hatchet or something under his car seat.
I see.
Almost a year and a half since Carol Duranche's attempted abduction, Ted Bundy is found guilty of aggravated kidnapping and is sent to Utah State Prison.
And soon, word spreads all the way to Aspen, Colorado, and Ted Bundy is brought there to face a murder charge. A young woman named Karen Campbell had been murdered in Aspen, Colorado. When police searched Ted Bundy's car, they found a map that had an X on the same resort where Karen Campbell had been staying. They found credit card receipts that put him there at the same time that she was there. And most damning of all, they found one of her hairs in his car.
Sure, I get angry. Very, very angry and indignant. I don't like being locked up for something I didn't do, and I don't like my liberty taken away, and I don't like being treated like an animal, and I don't like people walking around and ogling me like I'm some sort of weirdo, because I'm not.
Having been in jail for more than a year, Ted convinces guards to let him study in a law library during a court recess. He is alone for less than 60 seconds, but is able to jump out of an open second-story window and escape into the Aspen Mountains. Ted Bundy is now on the run. He heads to Crested Butte, Colorado, but gets lost. 6 days after his escape, Bundy steals a car, but by now he's hungry, sleep-deprived, and has injured his leg. Police officers spot a vehicle driving erratically.
The officer recognizes him.
Hey, get out of the car, please.
Why? Because he had been assigned to the duty of guarding Ted Bundy and had fed him breakfast.
Not long after his second arrest, Bundy is charged in the murder of Karen Campbell. But he has little intention of staying behind bars. Just 7 months later, the 31-year-old Bundy escapes again, this time through a vent in his jail cell. News media explodes, spreading panic and fear across the western United States. A depraved killing machine once again walks the streets.
Every news organization across the country was now interested in Ted Bundy, this young, charming, smart guy who had killed these beautiful women, and now he's on the loose. Nobody knows where he is. Is he in your neighborhood? He could be.
Former county sheriff Ken Katsaris.
Ted Bundy was rather careful. He thought he was rather smart, and he was. And he tried very hard to conceal his identity in every way that he could. He was brilliant and really operating at genius level.
Ted Bundy heads south, where he will unleash a murderous fury unprecedented in the annals of crime.
Ted Bundy steps off the bus in Tallahassee, Florida, home of Florida State University. Young, pretty brunette college girls as far as the eye can see. Ted Bundy has hit the promised land. He's like a kid in a candy store.
What are you doing?
Over the last 4 years, dozens of women have fallen victim to a charming psychopath known as Ted Bundy. Remains are scattered throughout 5 states, and women across the U.S. are terrified they may be next.
Ted Bundy really was so far away from us that it was somewhat not relevant. When you see they're up in Seattle or the state of Washington, it didn't seem to be the kind of thing that we would key in on.
But Ted Bundy has melted into the college crowd of Tallahassee, Florida, and has singled out the Chi Omega sorority as his personal house of horrors.
Diane Cawson McCain.
A group of us had gathered in my room, and we were chatting and, you know, catching up on the news and just enjoying one another. And then one by one, we would turn in.
Susan Denton Harris.
It was a very, very cold night. And sometimes that deadbolt lock and the combination lock would stick and it would not retract back into the door jamb. And so just lock.
Bundy enters the sorority house through a back door. He secures a wood club wrapped in cloth, quietly climbs the stairs, and enters the room of 21-year-old Margaret Bowman. He bludgeons her with the log. And strangles her with a nylon stocking.
My wall adjoined Margaret's wall, and her bed was up against the wall, as was mine. I was roused, awakened by hearing something.
But Diane falls back asleep. Police believe 21-year-old Lisa Levy was likely Bundy's next victim. Ted beats her, strangles her, then viciously bites her, tearing off parts of her body with his teeth. Bite mark evidence will later be used at his trial.
He had used his teeth on two of the young ladies, but the one was an imprint that was definitely as if he was signing his signature.
Bundy then clubs Kathleen Kleiner. And beats roommate Karen Chandler. Both would survive their injuries. As Bundy hurries back down the stairs to leave, he is spotted by another sorority sister, Nita Neary, who hides out of sight.
She saw someone coming down the stairs and then exiting through the door.
Heaven only knows what would have happened to Nita if he would have known that he was seen.
The entire attack takes less than 10 minutes.
There's blood everywhere, and Lisa was hurt, and I just bent over to help her. She had just had her braces removed after wearing braces for almost a year, and she had such a beautiful smile, and that's really the extent of what I recall until I believe it was an ENT that grabbed me by the shoulders and pulled me away.
But Bundy isn't through yet. Just minutes after his slaughter at the sorority house, he moves down the street and breaks into the apartment of 21-year-old dance student Cheryl Thomas. He breaks her jaw and partially destroys her hearing, which ends her dream of becoming a professional dancer.
The killer came in from the night and then returned to it with an ease that has so far baffled police and left most co-eds here terrified.
Authorities don't realize that the man they are hunting in Florida is the serial killer who escaped from a Colorado jail.
I'd rather say we've got a very disturbed, sick individual.
And his most disturbing act is yet to come.
3 weeks after the Chi Omega sorority house, Ted Bundy has one more kill. and it's the worst one he'll ever do.
Her name is Kimberly Leach, and she is a 12-year-old student on her way back to class in Lake City, Florida. It will be 2 months before her remains are returned to her family.
We don't know how many murders Ted Bundy committed, but we know which one took him down. The murder of Kimberly Leach was the one that ultimately sent him to the electric chair. So now Ted Bundy thinks it's time to leave Tallahassee, time to leave Florida entirely. So he steals another Volkswagen and heads towards Alabama.
Bundy's suspicious behavior catches the attention of a local officer.
It was just more of a chance encounter than anything else. One of the Pensacola police departments just happened to see an automobile drive behind a business and decided to stop him. Took him in to the jail and booked him.
Former prosecutor Larry Simpson.
Then they began a process of actually trying to identify who he was.
Pensacola, Florida police are questioning a man they say may be one of the worst sex murderers of all time.
Bundy had escaped New Year's Eve from a Colorado jail where he was a suspect in 36 rapes and murders, mostly in the West over a seven-year period.
It was a sense of resolve in some ways that they had captured someone, but then doubt. Are they sure?
It took several months to put the case together to be sure that we had the right guy.
No fingerprints are left behind at the Chi Omega house, but there is something unusually incriminating.
There was a bite mark that was left on one of the girls at the Chi Omega house. Apparently what Mr. Bundy did is he bit one time, released, and then bit a second time so that it gave a broader range identifying characteristics in order to make the identification.
Authorities secure a search warrant for Ted Bundy's mouth and proceed to make a mold of his teeth, and it's a perfect match. Bundy stands trial for the Chi Omega murders and assaults.
I'll plead not guilty right now.
He acts as his own attorney and decides to personally depose the sorority sisters regarding the two women he bludgeoned to death.
They have to sit just feet away from the man who went on this brutal, bloody spree in their sorority house.
I went into all of the depositions knowing that I had to be there. I was subpoenaed. It was not a choice. He asked several questions, and my answers were very short and to the point, and it angered him. And that's when he hit his fist against the table and stood up. And I said to myself, I remember, he's in shackles. I'm not.
I could definitely see the charm in him. Yet at the same time, I'm thinking, this is this monster. You're awful. I cannot believe that you're going to put us through this. I actually resented having to sit there because I really felt like he was kind of getting off on this or just having fun.
Sometimes he would be Ted the lawyer. Sometimes he would be Ted the college student. You know, unfortunately, I think there was at least one other Ted out there that was Ted the killer. And you could almost see that coming out occasionally in court.
Ted's antics in the courtroom draw huge crowds, many of them women.
What is unusual to see is that many of the onlookers are women, young women, contemporaries of the five Florida State sorority sisters who were assaulted in their beds a year and a half ago.
Oh no, you know, he's gonna get me next.
I'm not afraid of him. He just doesn't look like the type to kill somebody.
But Nita Neary, the eyewitness at Chi Omega, knows exactly what Ted is capable of.
The eyewitness was, her testimony was very critical, I thought, to the case. Might have even been some of the most important testimony that we had in the case.
Do you remember the man that you saw standing at the door of the Chi Omega house? Do you?
Yes, I do.
Would you point him out, please?
Nita identifies Ted Bundy as the man leaving her sorority house that night. With overwhelming evidence, Ted Bundy is found guilty of the Chi Omega murders and is sentenced to death.
This court, independent of, but in agreement with, the advisory sentence rendered by the jury, does hereby impose the death penalty upon the defendant, Theodore Robert Bundy.
6 months later, 33-year-old Ted Bundy is found guilty for the abduction and murder of 12-year-old Kimberly Leach, and once again is sentenced to death. Ted awaits his execution at a Florida state prison, when he suddenly begins to reveal the details of his horrific crimes.
Even behind bars, Ted Bundy was trying to control the situation. He was trying to stay his execution by giving police details of women who he had killed, where their bodies were, what he had done to them.
The Hawkins girl's head was severed and taken up the road.
Theodore Robert Bundy, a monster responsible for raping and murdering 36 young women and girls, faces the electric chair in a Florida prison. But in an effort to stave off his own death, he begins to reveal the depraved details of his horrific crimes. Ted sits down with Detective Robert Keppel and begins his confession.
That's when I found out about what killers really knew.
Starting with the murder of 18-year-old Georgianne Hawkins.
About halfway down the block, I encountered her and asked her to help me carry the briefcase. Basically, when I reached the car, what happened was I knocked her unconscious with the crowbar. I handcuffed her and put her in the passenger side of the car and drove away. At this point, she was quite lucid, talking about things. It's funny, it's funny, but it's odd the kinds of things people say under those circumstances. She had a Spanish test the next day, and she thought that I had taken her to help tutor me for a Spanish test.
There was information that he talked about with regard to murder that only the killer would know.
The Hawkins girl's head was severed and taken up the road about 25 to 50 yards and buried in a location about 10 yards west of the road on a rocky hillside.
So we went up there 15 years later and dug up the whole mountainside and didn't find the skull. Whether he actually did or not, I don't know. He lies, you know.
But this wasn't the only meeting between Bundy and Keppel. Years before his execution, Bundy volunteered to assist Robert Keppel in forming a criminal profile for the then-at-large Green River serial killer. Even though it will be 17 years before the Green River killer is brought to justice, the story of Bundy and Keppel's collaboration inspires Thomas Harris to write the Hannibal Lecter series of books, which would go on to establish one of the world's most iconic films, borrowing elements directly from Bundy's own habits.
Even Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs had a cast, and that's how he would draw in the women.
Journalist and author Hugh Ainsworth would go on to interview Bundy as well.
I'd find myself staring at his hands, unconsciously, but I was thinking, those hands killed so many people. In the depth of all this conversation about killing, looking at his hands.
Eventually, authorities said, we're not going to stay your execution any longer, no matter how many more confessions you make. So a date was set that he was going to die in the electric chair.
On the afternoon before his execution, Ted Bundy elects to sit down with evangelical Christian author James Dobson for his final interview, blaming pornography for his violent behavior.
Those of us who have been so much influenced by violence in the media, in particular pornographic violence, are not some kinds of inherent monsters. We are your sons and we are your husbands.
Most were critical of Bundy's final words, including infamous cult leader Charles Manson.
Bundy's his mama's boy. Bundy's out there trying to prove something to his own manhood. That's got nothing to do with me. I don't roll around with people like that. Pornography? I've been looking at it all my life and it hasn't affected me anything.
At 7:16 a.m., Ted Bundy dies by means of the electric chair while hundreds of spectators celebrate outside the prison.
My heart just went out to the Bowmans and to Mrs. Levy that, you know, there's not this sense of joy or necessarily relief, but there is this resolution that he will not hurt anyone else.
Lisa was so vivacious and just loved life, and Margaret was more prim, more proper, very different. I think they would want to be remembered for, you know, the intelligent young women that they both were.
Everything we know about serial killers was turned on its head when we saw that he wasn't the creepy man in the raincoat, but he was the law student, the handsome guy in the polo shirt, the guy driving the little car. He can be a murderer, too.
Evil comes in many, many different packages, and sometimes tied in a very pretty bow, and you just have to be aware.
That concludes this episode of Murder Made Me Famous. Don't forget to go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, for clips, extras, and more. And check out new episodes every Saturday on the Reels channel. Don't forget to subscribe on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.